The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Stunt Granny Audio. This is number 253, I believe.
Yeah, 253.
Yes.
And you know what else is going to be momentous about this podcast?
No.
This will be post number 2500 for the site.
Oh, wow, really?
Yes, sir.
Oh, all right, then.
So, I did notice that we were getting into the 2400s there the other week, and I was like, damn, man, we're going to get there.
After how many years have we been doing this?
Well, I think more. I meant to check that, actually, on our archives here. Because I was just like, is this...
Yeah, it just August, seems like it should be more.
August of 08.
So, almost got to be 6 years. Wow.
Yeah, no, I was like, oh, we should do something for 5 year. And then I started going, oh, I think it's been 6 years.
Yeah, we missed that.
I completely airballed on that.
Yeah, it's been 6 years of nothing but ups and downs. We haven't had one steady year doing this thing.
Mostly downs, some ups.
Yeah. Any sort of headway we've made, contacts we've made in the business, any business, they've just blown up in our faces. Promotions that we liked have gone away, but yet somehow TNA is still around. So
the best thing to happen was Colt Cabana stealing the art of wrestling from me.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Our former friend.
Yeah, and then our WWE mole. So I'm not quite sure if they're still listening to, if they're still taking our suggestions or not, which we really haven't said much of anything. Although it was a coincidence, and I even texted Eric this. He writes that piece about how they need to add Triple H, and in the very next, I think it was the same day, wasn't it?
No. He wrote that a day or two after Raw. Like, he wrote it on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and the following week they did it.
Oh, all right. Now. I think he's
because we're supposed to call him the groundhog now, because that was one nice thing. I'm like, well, at least Eric reads the column.
Yes.
So he still gives us a hit.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it was funny. I texted him and he was like, yep, that's fantasy booking 202. So yep, you got it. But just nothing. So, and sorry, I got distracted because I started looking at the mayor stuff again. For anyone listening, I moved to Charlotte last year, Charlotte, North Carolina. Yes, home of
North
the nature
Kakalaki.
Boy. Yeah, no, only South Carolina says South Kakalaki. North, I've never heard him say that, actually.
That's what our truth says all the time.
Well, yes, well, he's also kind of retarded. Doesn't get the names of the city he's in right anyways, let alone states. So, you know, gonna need to come up with something a little bit better than that one. The talk around work though was the mayor getting busted by the feds. I mean, you're done. The feds indicted you?
Yeah, well, and you just said it was just bribery charges?
So far.
Are they saying pending investigation for further investigation or anything like that?
He took the one site broke it. It was 48 pages or 4,800 pages, something like that. The Creative Loafing, which is kind of like what's the one magazine they have in Columbus? They used to have it in Kent and all that stuff. Like the free paper?
Oh. Well, yeah. The other paper was what it's called here.
Well, here it's called Creative Loafing.
So oh, okay. Whatever. Gotcha.
Yeah. One of the fun facts was that he took $12,500 from an undercover agent to develop, and this is serious, a feminine hygiene product called Hers.
Isn't there already a feminine scent probably called Hers?
But dude, this is a mayor. This is somebody of like a
major
city,
I guess I'm saying, shouldn't he know better?
I don't know.
Hasn't he gotten a woman some Hers at any point in his life?
I don't know, but what makes... I mean, besides that,
or is he just going to get her some potato chips?
Oh, God.
Or having some Hers.
It's Hers. I thought it was Hers. It's Hers?
I don't know. I always pronunciated Hers.
All right. Well, I'm the one that can't pronounce shit, so it's not a big surprise if I'm wrong. Oh, and Aces, by the way, of getting Shahid's name right, I'm never going to tackle that. It's just going to be Shahid. So, fun fact to pile on that one.
What?
It says here, when Cannon allegedly received the money, $12,500, he's not even getting large amounts, which is really annoying, too. It was placed on the table in front of him, and he nervously covered it with a folder. The undercover... No, just wait. No, that's not the good part. The undercover agent saw his trepidation and closed the blinds in the room. Yeah, that's kind of nice of him. Cannon, who's the mayor, proceeded to pick up the money stack and fan himself with it. And they had big baller style. I was like, that's big pimpin' style. You're just taking a $12,000 and just like, yeah, it's warm in here.
Oh, man.
He offered to give the money back because he started feeling bad about it, but after five times, he never did. Yeah. He went out to Vegas with his wife, and he made his wife thank the undercover agent for the $1,000 bribe of spending money. So his wife is fucked now, too, because she knew about it.
Well, she was. She had to develop the Hers for him. I mean,
that's true.
How else is she going to start her career in fashion? In Charlotte, better than having a line of cologne come out or not cologne.
Well, it's feminine hygiene, so I'm figuring it's some sort of vinegar and oil. Not oil, sorry. Vinegar and water sort of solution.
It's going to be something to make sure that her box smells okay.
Yeah, exactly. On six separate occasions... I actually like that. Does your box smell okay? Hers. On six separate occasions, he requested a key to an agent's luxury South Park apartment, which is where I live, and was observed entering the residence twice after receiving it. No word on whether he was alone. I'm going to say he wasn't.
I think we're alone now.
Now, this is... All right, the other ones are just different stuff, but, like, allegations. Like, he said he met the Obamas. I don't know what that has to do with anything. Where was it? Oh, two things. Oh. One of the agents gave him $20,000 in bribe money in a leather briefcase. A leather fossil briefcase. Which I'm sure Fossil's entirely happy to have their name thrown into this. But the guy came, the agent came in with it and left without it. So the mayor was apparently nervous about that. And their best excuse, or someone asked him where his case was, oh, I must have forgot it. And then the one that cracked me up, where the hell was it? Oh, all right, and the most scathing one, actually, is the mayor, and I keep saying his name. His name is Cannon, excuse me. It's what's his full name? Well, it's Mayor Cannon. I don't even know the guy's name.
Nick Cannon.
Yeah, whatever his name is. Oh, Patrick Cannon, that's it. He apparently bragged about being very close with the governor, Pat McCrory, who used to be the mayor of Charlotte, who was also on Duke's board of directors, I guess, at one point. Or something like that. Duke Power. And a state senator, Robert Rucho, or Rucco, R-U-C-H-O. So basically, it almost sounds like, well, I mean, and this is where, like, a slant comes in on their part, but it almost sounds like he was bragging, like, yeah, we're all part of the same ring or doing the same things. So now the governor's got to be like, oh, shit. But yeah, that's pretty good. But he also did mention he didn't want to end up like with those New Orleans or Detroit guys. You know, Kwame Fitzpatrick and was it Ray Nagin?
Yeah, well, I think he was there. And it was definitely Kilpatrick.
Oh, yeah, for, and I'm positive about the Detroit one. But Nagin was the mayor during Katrina, right?
Yeah, he could have been.
Yeah, I think he was the one that was talking about, like, was it chocolate people? Brown people? It was that weird press conference he had.
I vaguely remember it, but I don't really, so.
That's all I remember of that guy. I didn't even know he got brought up on bribery charges, so. So, yeah, so fun times here. And he resigned today. I think at 7 p.m. he resigned.
Yeah, well, I mean, he didn't have the good sense to give us much to talk about, like Rob Ford in Toronto. He didn't try to stick it out.
Oh, no. Well, I think, well, you know, Rob Ford, he's just an alcoholic, drug-riddled mess, which is fine. But this guy got arrested by the feds.
It is a little different when you actually get arrested. That throws the monkey wrench into the situation.
Yeah, especially when it's the feds. I mean, it wasn't like a drunk driving or something like that. This is pretty evil shit. So
yeah, no, it wasn't even. It wasn't the state police. It wasn't the local police. You have to go up a couple levels to get where he went to, and he's doing okay for himself.
Yeah, how do you? I don't even know why. You're the mayor of there's Raleigh, it's the state capital, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And then Charlotte. Those are the two biggest cities in this state. You're arguably, I mean, outside of being the state capital, you're the main man of like the second to the biggest city in an entire state. And you're taking bribes for $12,000 to make pussy products. That's just idiotic. I mean, that.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine that it's worth it.
No. Oh, brother. But something else just popped up when we were talking. Total Divas beat Impact Wrestling in the ratings?
Oh, yeah, it's done that before.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
I mean, it's not by much. They're both usually ones, but it's just like I've seen them at 1.4 or something like that. And, you know, Impact usually comes in around a 1.1, 1.2, something in that area. Because, again, I don't really bother looking at them. I look at them every now and again and then.
Well, I wouldn't. Yeah, I don't pay attention to ratings. It was just something that popped up on my screen. I was like, oh. I thought that was a big deal, so. Nice non-story there.
Yeah, no, it is a bit of a non-story. I mean, it doesn't beat it every week, but whatever. I mean, if almost as many people are watching that, it's still just a sad statement on your product.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we've talked about this. I know Dusty and I did. But, like, saying, like, shows are competing, like, Total Divas didn't actually beat Impact in the ratings. They're not on at the same time. They're not on the same day, so it's not an actual competition. It doesn't make any sense. So,
yeah, no, there is that part, but they certainly had more viewers though than TNA did. So, whatever line of excuses.
Well, okay, yeah,
because trust me, that's always one of my amusements. Always with .net, I don't quite get the fascination with. It's just like almost every week there's something on, whether it ends up being Monday Night Football or, playoff baseball or the NCAA championship games because all of those are played on Mondays. You know, it's just like dude, there's something more weeks of the year than there aren't, so who cares? Like, they're dealing with it pretty much on a weekly basis.
Yeah. That is something I still don't understand why ratings matter. I suppose you could use it to gauge, like, who people are watching in each segment, but overall, who cares?
Oh, you mean breaking it down into the 15-minute thing?
Yeah, like, okay, we put the Shield on at 9:45 to 10 o'clock spot. All right, that did I don't know actual rating, so whatever. That did a 3 rating. Well, then we put them on at 10:30 to 10:45, and it did a 3 rating. So I was like, okay, people are sticking around to watch them, you know, to make a positive example out of it.
Right.
That sort of thing I can see, but overall, who gives a shit? There's no competition. I mean...
Yeah, no, and I never quite got breaking it down into that smallest segment, too, because it's just like... I guess the only thing I'm surprised by is sometimes how much it fluctuates in some ways. But to me, that just tells me that people are just tuning out or they don't care as much as a lot of people. So, like, the hardcores are kind of keeping it in those lower times. So, like, the hardcores are more like the 3s. And then, you know, you get an extra 0.8 from the fascination people flipping around. You know, so, I mean, I guess that was always a little interesting to me. But, yeah, trying to figure out who was in for what segments, just like, well, the majority of the audience is there the whole time.
Yeah.
So they're not saying, oh, well, I'm sticking with this because the Shield's coming up. No, it's, you know, that 0.8 that's deciding whether that segment's big or not. So, like, why would you really consider them? Like, your audience is the 3s.
Yeah. And I mean, also, if you become a slave to numbers like that, you can never go out and try something new and sustain something new, because if you go out and do something different and then all of a sudden, you know, the rating drops out for it, and you immediately go, oh my God, this isn't working, and pull the plug. It's like, well, no, just stick with it and see what happens. You know, like that pretty much like you should, because you're guaranteed a certain amount, like you were saying. So don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I still don't understand fascination with ratings now. I honestly, as soon as WCW was bought out, and then I think up to a year, when you saw, like, the fans didn't move over, then it didn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that Raw's not going anywhere. It may move. I mean, financially for WWE, of course you want higher ratings, because when your deals come up, you can go to different networks and go, see what we're pulling in consistently? All right, more money.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, no, outside of that, I mean, it's pretty irrelevant to me. Yeah. Like, I guess I don't care what it's doing in the ratings. I'm going to watch, I'm going to report, we're going to bitch about it.
Yeah,
and
that's exactly it.
Well, it's just
like,
that's that.
Like, that, and then... sort of related, but like seeing how much money a movie made when it comes out. So who cares? I mean, if you've got a bomb, then there's something to talk about. But then it's like, oh my God, that made $60 million this week. This one made $55 million. Like, well, did you go see it? What do you care? I mean, there's no, you don't root for a movie studio. I mean, I don't know. I don't root for studios or movies. I just want the damn thing to be good. So,
yeah, no, that's another one where I'm just going to see what I'm going to see, and I'm not going to see what I'm not going to see.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's popular or not, like, I'll just catch what I want to.
Yeah, I mean, depending on what time, I got to check our flight, but depending on the time we fly out on Friday. I keep saying we're flying out Thursday, which would be hilarious, because we wouldn't have a place to stay, and we wouldn't have a plane to take, so that doesn't make any sense. But might go see a midnight show of Captain America, or if they put it on at 8 o'clock or something.
Oh, yeah, no, we're going to see Chelsea Peretti that night before we go.
Who's that?
Oh, she's on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She has her own, or she's been a stand-up before. Right. But she's playing Woodlands here, so it's this really pretty tiny room. Because we saw Judah Friedlander there and Jim Florentine.
What was her name?
Oh, Mick. Huh?
What was her name?
Chelsea
again?
Peretti.
Okay, I think she's actually coming here, or did.
Yeah, no, if you haven't been watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Is that good?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, no. Fox has done a really good job with that, and I really like Mindy, too.
That girl annoys me. I can't. Maybe she did too good of a job on The Office. But ever since that, I can't watch that. I can't see her, so...
Yeah, no, and I'm definitely not getting out of it, even if it gets bad, because the lady's hooked, so...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen this woman before. All right.
Yeah, no, and what did I... Oh, I just heard her... She did Comedy Bang Bang, and that was pretty goddamn funny.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, no, and her part in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, she could be the best person in there, and she's not on enough, really.
All right, gotcha. Yeah, Stanhope's here this weekend, so probably go see him down in NOTA. So, $25, can't beat it. I mean, shit, it's pretty cheap, so. But, I don't know how we got to there, but going back to wrestling with no segue.
Well, we were talking about the ratings.
Yeah.
And I was kind of the mindset of going into the, we could talk about the ratings because, well, Daniel Bryan did not appear on the show, so he was not a factor in the ratings whatsoever this week.
Yeah. It's kind of awkward, or not awkward, it was different that he wasn't on there because no one sells long-term injuries anymore. Or nobody sells injuries anymore. CM Punk used to, when, you know, if he'd have a rough match on like a pay-per-view, he'd come out limping or something the next day. But most of the time when you get a severe beat down like that, you're in a match the next day. It doesn't matter, or the next week. So
yeah. Because they always try to sell the, oh, he's wrestling injured, and mm-hmm. he's, you know, he has so much valor, and then JBL gets to go, no, he's a goddamn idiot for wrestling.
Yeah. And then zone back out like he's drunk. Yeah.
And, yeah, no, there's nothing like that this week. Like, I mean, that's why it's always conditioned me, like, with any wrestler, like, when they're trying to sell their injuries, it's just like, he can't be wrestling and sell this injury. Like, you need someone like Punk to take a week off or something to sell it, to make me believe, I guess.
Yeah. No, and I was actually, I know, I think some people thought it was, you know, weird that he wasn't there. Now, if you're going to say it's weird he wasn't there because, you know, it's WrestleMania season, well, long-term story-wise, it made perfect sense, and to WWE's credit, they actually did something right for it. I mean, you know, as much criticism as they take for having stuff go wrong, or do stuff wrong, whatever, this I thought was done right. I mean, I always hate the satellite interviews.
Satellite of yeah.
You know, like, yeah, I'm here at WWE Studios, or I'm here, and it's like, well, wait a minute, why aren't you just at the arena then? If you can drive all the way to Connecticut or something, you know? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I know it was cheesy and felt like a corporate tie-in, but they really just should do the Skype.
Well, yeah, oh yes, you know what? They could do that as well. That honestly, that is a much better idea, which I don't know if they want. Well, Tout doesn't really exist for the most part, but Tout isn't really a competitor with Skype, though. But no, doing a Skype, something like that, even having it broken up, like ours looks pretty clear for tonight for some reason. you know, you're a major corporation, so, you know, and as much as they get on these social media and whatever else, I think that would be a very good idea. And then you could do these things, and hell, even have Daniel Bryan at home, just saying, yeah. And I guess he tweeted that he wasn't medically cleared. Yeah.
Did they mention anything like that? Because yeah. I did not. Oh, okay.
He tweeted during the show or something, or you know, whatever. And, but if like you know,
of course he did.
That was trying to say like Michael Cole's an investigative journalist or whatever. You know, when he was like, I was talking backstage with this guy, and it's like, well, why don't you just say, well, I got a text from this guy. You know, or Lawler could say it, or somebody could. I mean, you know, you gotta.
Oh, like up. Yeah, you're saying update your sources.
Right. Yeah. Or you know, be the investigator that you know you're supposed to be. You know. With their.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's the way they want to play it, though. I don't know if they want Cole to be a beating post, so they have him intentionally not do that stuff, so that JBL can berate him all the time about it.
Yeah, and that's not even on the docket for today, so I don't want to get into that. But
you're the one that got into it.
No, I mean, yeah, I know I brought it up, but I just meant the JBL stuff is very weird now. So whatever. Put legit on. No, it seems like a viable
it's selling an injury.
Yeah, it just seems like a viable thing to have happen finally. And it's something that I think a lot of people have been screaming about, not screaming, but that have mentioned, you know, have a guy like he sell a ladder match that they can't wrestle the next day. I know we've talked about it.
Oh.
And it's like they're finally doing something like that. It's like, God, it's about time. So I agree with it. It's a smart thing to do.
Well, and it's not just smart from the selling aspect. He has just been doing a lot of wrestling, and maybe they're actually being smart enough now with some of their top guys to go, hey, you know, we love having you on the card. You're doing great. Why don't you take a rest right before the big event? Yeah. Let's make sure, you know, it's one less chance for you to get injured before then. Like, with a guy that you have that much tied up in, that everyone's, you know, pretty much assuming he's going to be the champion at WrestleMania.
Yep. No, you're exactly right. I was going to say something very similar.
That's yeah. just like, you know, in the NFL, it's just like, no, just rest the guys. Fuck off. Mm-hmm. If you're getting a bye and that game doesn't mean anything, there is no reason for your guys to get injured.
Yep.
You know, I've seen it happen on way too many stupid plays.
Yeah. No. I also noticed Orton didn't wrestle last night. He was only in the first segment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, he had to travel.
And I think it's smart, too, that, I mean, Batista has barely wrestled since he's come back.
Yeah, he's on Friday again.
I completely agree with. It's just like, yeah, no, don't have him wrestle that much. Like, he's kind of a special attraction. Even though he's around for 2 years, you still make him a little bit of a special attraction.
Yep. Yeah. No, but it goes to what you're saying, though, about, you know, I know they had him travel, but have him show up.
Well,
here, I'm going to talk, and there you go. Well, I mean, you're on the road all weekend. I mean, I didn't check house show results if Daniel Bryan was on the house shows or not.
No.
You know, right. Hey, sit at home. But I mean, especially with the way some of the contracts are worked out now, it doesn't matter. So,
yeah.
It's a smart idea. You're exactly right. Like, rest up some of the guys. And to really to avoid the injury aspect of it. I think that's a real, real important part of it.
So, yeah.
But, and it helped sell the angle with Triple H. And it allowed Triple H to finally, you know, play the bad guy and not worry about, you know, Daniel Bryan having to interrupt it, anything like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I thought that for the most part, they all, because I thought Triple H started a little slow and ended good, And I thought Steph started really good and kind of trailed off at the end.
Yeah.
But, I mean, still, for the most part, I mean, I enjoyed both of them. I mean, that's kind of a minor criticism, really, in the scope of things. Like, for it being the time of year that it is, you know, 2 weeks out, I thought they really delivered what they needed to this week to kind of put the heat on themselves.
Yeah. And they built everything up. I didn't understand the Batista getting on Stephanie about drooling on Stephanie thing. I'm like, really? I don't understand what's going on here, but are you, wait, so now the fans are supposed to cheer you? I'm confused, so. But it's still Dave being awesome. I mean,
yeah, no, I was just like, he's just being a dick for whatever reason. Yeah,
for no reason, just being a dick. That's great.
Like, I mean, I know that there would be certain segments of the viewing audience that would cheer him, but I think as an overall whole, the women and the kids are not going to be cheering him doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. The build's fine. I mean, they got to keep the other two in the mix because they've totally gotten lost in it. So,
well, yeah, once they actually got it settled that Brian was going to be in there, I think they've done a better job with both Orton and Batista.
Let's not put the old horse before the cart there, Kevin.
Yes, okay. Whether Triple H is... Well, they announced... Actually, I still stick with what I said. Once they gave Brian the shot, I feel like they've defined their characters better.
Yeah.
Orton and Batista. Even the week before, because that happened the week before, and then Triple H included himself the following week. So, I thought that they're like, okay, this is the direction we're going. And Batista and Orton started to get defined.
That's fair enough. Yeah, finally. I mean, small, but...
Yeah, no. 4 weeks before WrestleMania, they finally have their role to play.
Yeah.
No, that's not important for the WWE Championship.
No, not much. But at least, you know, at least that's got something behind it, some momentum. In comparison to what should be the other really big match, The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar? Where's the drama in this? I mean, everybody expects Undertaker to win as it is. So shouldn't Brock be beating him down every week? Like, every time Undertaker tries playing one of his mind games, Brock sees through it and just beats him down? So that going into WrestleMania, you're like, oh my God, he's going to lose. Just something?
Well, and that's kind of funny too. Like, I feel like they use the same formula with all of Brock's opponents. You know, because they've been using the whole, Brock is such a beast, you don't think that this guy's going to be able to beat him because he was tossing around Mark Henry most recently. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, oh, he can beat The Undertaker if he can toss around Mark Henry like a rag doll. And it's just like, but then they still insist on selling Undertaker is the guy who has something to prove because he's not the UFC, the former UFC champion. And it's just like, no. You know, to your point, like, nobody thinks that The Undertaker's in trouble. Mm. Like, it's the other way around. Everybody just thinks that Lesnar's going to lose. So you need to sell me on that.
Yeah.
Do not need to sell me on The Undertaker being a credible opponent
yes.
for Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's the other way around.
Yeah, from the second this started, Brock called him out.
It's no, like, he didn't even call him out. Yes,
I'm sorry. You're right. Brock had the open challenge.
Yeah.
Taker comes down, and he's like, cool. And he's like, sign it. Well, what's the Undertaker do? He stabs him in the hand. What kind of bitch move is that? You're the tough guy. You should be like, there you go, and then stare him down or something. Instead, you stab him in the hand? It's like, what shit is this?
I didn't think it was a bitch move. I just thought that it was, being a little extra violent there. kind of making your point. You know, Lesnar didn't think anybody was worthy of his open contract. And that means he passed over The Undertaker, and The Undertaker's got to make a point. Hey, dummy, don't forget about me, and you're not going to forget about it when I have a pen through your hand. Which would have been kind of cool.
Well, they tried, but you notice how they totally ignored that?
Brock Lesnar is stigmata.
Yeah. But then didn't Taker chokeslam him through the announce table like a few weeks later?
No, he did it right then.
That was that day?
Yeah, he stabs him with the pen and then chokeslammed him through the table and then signed the contract and dropped it on him.
But didn't he also a different week put him through chokeslam him through the table as well, right? I think it was in Chicago, wasn't it?
No, I don't remember, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, this is the third instance of Taker getting over on him. And you're like, okay. It would have been more impressive if, if he chokes him through the table and Lesnar pops right up like, is that all you have? And even this week, I mean, Taker comes out and has his way with him. It's like, what the hell's going on? Why is there zero interest now? I mean, unless this is on purpose. And they don't want, and people may disagree with it, they don't want this match overshadowing Daniel Bryan at all. Because as it stands, there's no chance in hell this match is last. And I know that was there was a debate about that.
And the other thing that, what the fuck was I just thinking? Oh, son of a bitch. Why did it had to do with the whole it being the main event kind of thing?
What, Taker? Taker being the main event? I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, fuck me running.
All right, then.
Yeah, no, just complete brain fart there. I was hoping talking about it would trigger something, but I was busy trying to find, whether Taker did that again.
No, but yeah, it just I don't get it. They've had physical altercations every time they've been around each other. Undertaker's resorting to mind games. Why do we even need mind games?
Last week, Taker wasn't on. Mm-hmm. So, unless it wasn't
he was on
main
event last week, talking to Paul Bear. Paul Heyman.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I'm just confused who thinks this is a good way of going about it.
Oh, shit. That's what I was going to say. Maybe they think that Taker really doesn't have it for a match, but they kind of feel like they need it on the card, so they're not trying to hype it up too much.
Okay.
Because the expectation for his match his matches here recently has been pretty high. And I do think that it should be, really, just considering his opponent, be a different style match than some of his recent ones.
Triple H and him have had pretty physical matches.
Yeah, no, I just finished making that sentence, and I was just like, fuck, Triple H is pretty much the same as Taker.
Yeah, but even last year, though, it was CM Punk, so it's a different animal this year.
And Michaels is definitely a different animal. I can't believe Michaels is that long ago, I guess, at this point.
Yeah, and it's funny, they're playing the first one on the network.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing who won, that was still an exciting match. That's how you know what a true classic is.
Oh, yeah.
That's just like, oh my god. And then the crowd going crazy with everything, and it was just perfect. So Yeah, I'm just very disappointed in this. And maybe you're onto something with they're trying to play down expectations of it. I think that might be a fair assumption, actually.
I don't know why it took a couple extra sentences to finally get that to kick in, but
yeah, it did. Whatever. So, I don't know. Pretty disappointing though, because I was really looking forward to that match, and I'm not going to be one of those guys that's going to say, "Well, I wonder if Lesnar's going to win." No, he's not going to win. There's no chance in hell Brock Lesnar's going to win. So that's why they always need to build these up as something. The build-up needs to fit the hype of the streak, which is now is a very hyped up. What's it called? Event. So, yeah. But I don't know. coming from that though, I think there was.
That's what it was.
What's that?
It might have happened that week that my DVR cut off for whatever reason.
Yes, it was.
Like 2 hours in or something.
yeah, that's because I remember.
That is why I don't remember it. I was going back through my articles.
Okay. See what you miss?
Yep.
But I don't know. We were going to talk about the Battle Royal, but I think we just need to save that for the WrestleMania preview shows.
Oh. Because yeah, no, we can do that.
I just started thinking about it, saying, what the hell are we going to talk about for 15 minutes about a battle royal? So, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds fair enough to me.
I have no idea what our timestamp is. And I think we started at 9:30, 9:35, something like that. We're at 40. Okay. We're trying not to go too long again, but... I don't know. So,
well, I figured that you were just going to try and segue into, since you're trying to steal my written material here. Although if Shahid's given us an article, then we'll be okay.
What am I trying to steal here? I'll let you run with that one.
Oh, you were talking about how you were interested in the ROH tryouts.
Ah, okay.
For the WWE, because that was when I was like, oh, it's kind of minor. I can write about that. But I still have the Willow article that I kind of started this morning.
Okay. I remember our conversation about that, and my interest level remains the same. So, actually, I was going to talk about Christian real fast.
That was one that we mentioned earlier today, too.
Yeah. And just, again, for those who didn't watch or don't know, he had suffered a mild concussion, and he was pulled from the IC match. Well, now with their concussion policy, who knows when he's going to be back? And has he been back 2 years by now? 3 years with WWE from TNA?
Oh, no, it's been more than that.
Well, he's gotten maybe 6 months of wrestling out of it. Oh, no, you're right, because I forgot about the whole Randy Orton-Christian feud, which is funny for me to say now is the only memorable thing he's done since coming back.
Yeah, no, like, he's had to deal with injuries for almost the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Christian has been injured a lot, which I know was one of your points. So I mean,
he's not young.
Oh, 2012.
He's been back that long?
No. Oh, that's right. I forgot that they gave him to TNA. They had some trade off with TNA.
We're using Ric Flair in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Huh? Oh, yeah, Ric Flair, the Hall of Fame. Yeah, so he did One Night Return in 2012. So he came back to the WWE in 2009.
Okay, that sounds...
So he's been back for 5 years.
I wish I would have looked this up. I would love to know how much of that time has been spent not wrestling. It's got to be 3 years out of that, if not more.
Well, and I don't think I'm really overstating that the majority of the last 2 years he has not been available because he had the shoulder injury and then got another shoulder injury or something rehabbing from the shoulder injury.
An ankle injury.
Yeah.
And then something else. It just...
He has just been getting piled on with the injuries here recently.
And it's... I don't know. It's funny because the last memorable thing he did was with Orton, and that's been it. And it's just been injury time ever since.
I thought that they really did, and I don't know if it was his idea also, but... I mean, I thought that they could get some mileage out of, since he'd already been doing the one last thing.
Yeah.
I thought that him turning heel and kind of, you know, having more determination to win a championship because his time was ending, was probably a good, a good storyline for him. And there's no reason not to run with it because... With all these injuries, I think it's kind of obvious that he doesn't have that much time, really.
No.
I've got to imagine that he's doing okay, that he's done okay for himself.
Mm-hmm. It sounds bad, but he's not a dependable wrestler anymore. I mean, you can't put any sustained... I mean, look at Rey Mysterio. He came back, suspended, hurt, whatever. You know...
Well, no, I think that's about the pattern.
Oh, okay, well. Yeah, and it's when can you depend on him? And especially with the amount of young guys coming up, or already there if you want, I mean, spots are getting taken.
So they have Dolph Ziggler on the roster to take his spot, so everything will be okay. We're not going to miss Christian.
No, and that's the sad thing about it. I remember how cool he was way back, but now it's... I'm not saying he's like hanging on, but...
I dig that character that he had going on now, but, you know, I'm also not going to miss him either. Like, I mean, and it does suck. Like, I remember him, I remember all the good stuff, but, you know, he's 35 and getting injured...
He's got to be older than 35.
No, hold on. I'm sorry. No, he's 41.
Okay, I was going to say, there's no chance he's 35, so...
Yeah, I mean, he's 41, so it's just like, man, just, you know, you had a good run, or a great run, really. Yeah. I mean, it might not quite be Hall of Fame unless they do some type of Edge and Christian type of inclusion as the tag team. But he's definitely had at least a memorable career.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's not for us to make the call to get the go either. But as fans, but as fans, it's hard to get behind a guy who's constantly going away.
Well, and I don't think it's just the fans. I think like you pointed out, with just all the young guys. The WWE just has people kind of coming out of their ears. I mean, that Alexander Rusev hasn't even wrestled yet, for Pete's sakes. Mm-hmm. And there are probably a couple other guys there. Sami Zayn could probably get a call up if they needed someone else. Like, I mean, they have enough people, to take up a spot if he happens to go away. But, I mean, and he is... kind of, you know, whether it's through injury or his own choice, like, you know, things are going away for him anyway. So, I mean, people mm-hmm. are getting the exposure time.
Well, especially with, if you want to say, backstage rumors, whatever, about Vince not seeing much in him.
Oh.
You know?
I mean, how the hell is Vince going to see much more in a 41-year-old guy who's constantly getting hurt? So there isn't going to be that one more match anymore, you know? So
right.
That sucks.
Yeah, no, I mean, we could be, you know, I mean, really seeing the tail end of things here for Christian.
Yeah, and like you said, it's been a good run. So, you know, whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah.
It always sucks to see a guy get broken down. And I guess I'll say it like that. It just sucks seeing the guy getting broken down like that. And to continue to just roll out. You know, I guess Shawn Michaels actually had it right. Just, you leave him wanting more.
Well, and I mean, he was about in the same age range, wasn't he? When he retired a couple of years ago, I think.
Yeah.
I think he's a little bit older than Christian, but... not by a whole lot. So, I mean, and he was smart too. Like, he hasn't had to wrestle as much as Christian has.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, well, Andy took those couple of years off too.
No, yes.
Which Christian didn't do. Like, he probably got a bit of a bodily rest in TNA since they don't wrestle as often, but
you know, that's a good call, and I know you weren't going this way, but I'm going to say it. I blame TNA for him being injured all the time. He totally got out of the WWE schedule, and look what happens. So
yeah, mm-hmm. see Wade Keller, they don't need a month off a year. Christian had 12 months off a year, and his body didn't hold up.
Yeah, no shit. But I think we'll end on that note, and I'll let you write about the ROH infusion for the developmental tryouts.
So. Yeah, no, I haven't been able to write about them at all because they haven't really given me any material to write about. So
no, not really. So
this gives me something.
Yeah. All right, so let me take a swig of water real quick so I can do this stuff.
Let's do it.
All right, but yeah, so thanks for listening. We mentioned it in here. We're gonna have our WrestleMania preview shows coming up. We took off last year because last year's WrestleMania sucked.
Oh, did we take off last year?
Yeah, remember I said I wasn't ordering it. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn, yep. Son, I forgot that we had taken a year off.
Yep. So, let's see. So there's that to look forward to. Shahid's writing a new column blog, I guess.
Oh.
About ECW.
Yeah, no, and that's I'll be kind of interested because he said that ECW didn't hold up well when we were doing the show there.
Yep.
And I watched Barely Legal, or at least most of it, the other day, their first pay-per-view,
mm-hmm.
And it was pretty okay.
Yes.
You know, wrestling-wise, like, and maybe it's just because it didn't, so far there wasn't too much in the chair, barbed wire, you know, glass panes kind of thing, so that may have helped out.
Yeah, so you'll see. I agree with him. It doesn't hold up at all.
No. And that's why I'm making sure that I'm clear in why I'm saying this, too. Because there might be other things that really don't hold up. But I thought it was kind of funny that I must have found the one pay-per-view that held up okay.
Yeah. The network, and I told Shahid this too, the network has done a great job of exposing nostalgia for what it is. We remember everything as being so cool and so great. They had, from Madison Square Garden, one of the... it wasn't even primetime wrestling. It was just a classic one, whatever. The Rougeau Brothers versus the Hart Foundation, which should have been cool. They didn't do anything for 10 minutes. They stalled. They just walked. They got out of the ring real quick. They walked around. They posed. And I'm like, wait a minute. We said this stuff was good? this is the good old days, right? Because this blows. Nothing's going on.
I'm not surprised, because I watching some of that AWA stuff and then just kind of thinking back on some of those matches, like, whew, man, those things just really move slow. Like, yeah. Because there's some, older stuff now, especially even in WCW, like that time frame he was talking about, I think there's some good wrestling, but...
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I can't think of anything before the early 90s that I'd say, yeah, that's awesome wrestling.
Well, I know we're supposed to wrap up, but we'll talk about the Playboy Buddy Rose blow away diet commercial is still one of the best things I've ever seen in wrestling. I had forgotten about that, and then they played it in between one of their shows or whatever. It was great, and it was like, just what a repugnant looking man he was. I think we brought this up on another show. Just throwing flour on himself and sitting in front of a oscillating fan or oscillating. How do you say that word, anyways?
Oscillating. Yeah, it's oscillating.
All right, and just blowing it away. So he got down to a trim 207. I mean, everything about it was terrible. It was so funny.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of why Dusty used that picture, I think, on one of our recent shows.
Oh, you know. Dusty, Dusty's knowledge for the old stuff is still incredible to me. I mean, what he can bring up, I'm like, what are you talking about? And it's not even a thinking process. He just automatically knows it. That's really pretty incredible to me. Eric's pretty good at it too, but Dusty's just way better. So, but yeah, so there's that. But we can get into WWE Network talk later. So, so thanks for listening. We'll have other stuff posted. So if you want to contact us, stunkranny@gmail.com, stunkranny on Twitter, DeFranco11. That's Kevin for all your social media needs. I'm Granny Mays. Dusty is Stunt Dusty. I think he's feeling better, so he may have more of a presence on Twitter again. I don't know if Shahid has Twitter. So I don't know.
He had it wrong last week, and I know that I saw it this week because I think it's Shaw, Shahph. ARMD.
Oh, FarmMD. Or FarmD. Alright.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I believe that's it. So, I'm like, I didn't prepare for this part either. I was like, what's your Twitter handle? He goes, I don't know.
Alright.
Jesus.
That's exactly what it should be. Because Twitter's just as dumb as Facebook is now. So, whatever. So there's that. Eric runs the Stunk Granny account on Twitter if you want to follow it. So it's pretty nice. That same on Facebook. You can download the podcast on any of the major platforms. So there's that. I believe that's everything.
Yeah, no, I've got to talk to Ken about, I know that he put our stuff up on SoundCloud, so we should probably put the regular shows up on there too.
Right. Yes, so that'd be good. So I'm done. We'll get at you next week for a whole bunch of shows. And, so there's that. Later, gang.
Okie doke, grandkids. It is not quite time for a sippy time beer endorsement, but I am going to go grab one and do the write-up for the show. Night. Yeah.